The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Developing news on the Aaron Rodgers front, our Jeremy Fowler is reporting the Packers have made a significant long-term contract offer to Rodgers that would alter the quarterback market. Terms of a potential new contract could always change, obviously. But a 3 or 4 year deal helps Green Bay's salary cap situation while giving Rodgers 38 contractual clarity well into his 40s. Green Bay is currently 27 plus million over the cap 9 days before the start of the new league year. The Denver Broncos also lurking, fellas, in the Rodgers sweepstake, with a source saying they are in the mix and willing to compete for his services either through a new contract or a draft compensation. Good morning, everybody. Welcome into First Take. Thank you so much for being with us. Stephen A. Smith, Marcus Spears. Good morning, fellas. I'm Molly Karam. Good
What's
to see
up,
you
family?
Both.
Well, first of all, I just want to know, are y'all okay? You know, I mean, I'm in L.A. I mean, I know y'all are not here, so I just want to know that,
you know, what,
you know are y'all
Stephen
all right? Y'all
Stephen
okay?
A, I'm you just, know I mean, what, Molly? To tell you the truth, I'm going to tell you the truth. In all honesty, I absolutely love going out to L.A. I absolutely love the warm weather. But I love to come home, too. So I'm good on both coasts. So I'm cool
I'm coming
today.
Back.
I got 5
I'm coming back.
Days.
I just
I'm cool.
Know that
looking forward
I'm coming
to you
back.
Returning.
I just know that you left earlier than you really, really wanted to. So I just wanted to make sure that you were okay.
I got a lot done this weekend. I will say
to answer your question, OG, I am not fine that you are on the West Coast and I'm in Virginia. I am not fine. It is not okay.
Let's talk some football. Let's do that football.
The sport coat looks more than fine, though, Swaggo. I'm with it. All right, I'll start Tell me this. What do you expect Rodgers to do now that you just heard this latest from Jeremy Fowler?
I expect him to stay in Green Bay. For one of the rare times, I wouldn't blame Green Bay if they were a little disgusted with him, whether it was the fan base or whether it was the organization. And here's why. An indication like this, or, you know, a situation like this, rather, with the Green Bay Packers where, you know, they're willing to, you know, make a long-term contract offer, they're willing to compete for his services. Well, I think that's a bit extreme. You've been in Green Bay long enough to know whether you do or do not want to be there. And I think that it's one of those situations where you need to be pursued at this stage and point in your career is utterly ridiculous. If there are things that you have to fix with your relationship with the Green Bay Packers, that was supposed to be last season. And either, you know, you once you go through this season like he did, you either want to stay or you want to go. But for them to have to find themselves in a situation where it ain't even about the money per se, where we're trying to cajole and compete with you, well, you've been there for almost 2 decades now. You either want to be there or you don't. Now, if you need more money, that's fine. If you want a longer-term commitment, that's fine. If you want more say, that's fine, okay? But it shouldn't be any trepidation as to whether or not you want to be there. You should know by now, because you're coming across like a drama queen or a drama king, whatever is appropriate. That's how you're coming across right now, which I don't think is the greatest look, particularly when you consider how he couldn't put up 14 points to win a divisional playoff game on his home field in inclement weather against a team when you had rest and they didn't have the rest. When all of those things are the backdrop, the immediate backdrop, the most frequent backdrop of what you've just endured, you know, one could argue you got some damn nerve to be putting people through all of this. You do have a right to sit up there and say, I want to stay or I want to go, considering the level of greatness and the fact that you're a reigning two-time league MVP. But all of this drama, I think, is reserved for champions. And the last 12 years, that has not been you.
Yes, sir. I'm glad somebody else said it. See, S.A., when you say it, the world takes notice. Charles Barkley said he's the girl that you got to tell they pretty all the time. You got to continue to tell them. The world takes notice when the OGs speak. I think he leaves. And here's the thing. Like, I know I've been saying this a long time. And the safe bet is, yeah,
hold on, Marcus, Rogers, you think he leaves?
Green Bay Packers.
Hold on, Marcus, you're saying that you think he's leaving. Oh, okay. I didn't catch that.
Yeah, okay. I think he's leaving. And you know, I was on this last year when everything was transpiring. And you know, you and I talked about this essay on the show. I said the Green Bay Packers need to cut ties with Aaron Rodgers. A lot for the things that you just said. Yeah, I know it's scary. I know he's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. But you have now gone through two off seasons where you are waiting to see if the most important player on your team is deciding to play for you. Not a contract dispute, not something that we can't see eye to eye on to get fixed. You just waiting. Because what you just laid out, what Jeremy Fowler laid out this morning on Get Up, they offering them all the money in the world. They've capitulated to all of the things that he wanted to happen last offseason by bringing in Randall Cobb. He spoke about it earlier when we got towards the end of the season, and I gave Aaron Rodgers kudos for saying, I'm not going to drag this out, and maybe we not to the point of it dragging out. I know the league has a calendar in a year, but I also know the Green Bay Packers general manager would like to know the decision so he can move forward, as he said. So as I look at all of that, I'm saying, you doing all of this again to stay? You have all of this speculation going on again to stay, and now there are rumors about other places that will have contracts. Let's get America straight, S.A. There will be anybody in the league that wants Aaron Rodgers to make him the highest paid quarterback. That ain't no damn breaking news. There will be teams that will change their rosters. They will do things. They will do what Aaron Rodgers needs them to do in order for him to come play. He's earned that. That's kudos to Aaron Rodgers because of how great he is. But to continue this saga or this soap opera with the Green Bay Packers about what I'm doing, what is he going to do, the general manager trying to be. Let me ask you this, S.A. I'm going to pass this to you. Let me ask you this. Do you think the Green Bay Packers brass are happy with Aaron Rodgers, or because he plays at a high level, they just sinking themselves in order to keep everything kosher depending on the decision that they're making?
No, I don't think they're happy with him at all, but I will tell you this. I don't give a damn about their happiness. I don't mind if they're miserable because I think for the most part they brought this on themselves up until last summer. Once you basically addressed the situation with Aaron Rodgers last summer, we shouldn't be going through all of this with Aaron Rodgers now. You went through the season after you sat up there and made all of that noise, and rightfully so, because he was being disrespected. He wasn't appreciated nearly as much as he should have been by brass. I remember when I was once told that he wanted to make a suggestion, and they said, you play, we run the organization, and shut the hell up and go out there on the field and do your job. They were very dismissive towards him for years to come. So I definitely understood his frustration, and when he had that press conference last year and just illuminated all of the issues that he had with them, I thought that came across as very profound, very thorough, very on point, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So we understood that. But once you got past that and showed up on the football field, you had an obligation to show up and produce. And I know that he did during the regular season, being that bad man we've all known him to be. And it's just one game. But one game in the playoffs matter because it can send you home. And when you can't score 14 points, you're the top seed. You had a bye week. San Francisco played Dallas the week before. They beat Dallas. They came in there without rest on your turf. With you rested and the special teams messed everything up, I get that. But that still doesn't excuse your inability to be to put up more than 10 points in a divisional playoff game on your home field. The fact that we are sitting here dealing with all of this noise, with Aaron Rodgers evidently incapable of making up his mind in an expeditious fashion, you are walking around like you are a champion, like this is 2011 and you had just won the title in 2010, as opposed to the individual that has now gone 11 or 12 consecutive seasons where not only have you not won a Super Bowl, you haven't even made the Super Bowl. And the fact that you're as great as you are, as great as you are, but you still have never been able to raise the Lombardi Trophy or even show up on a Sunday afternoon to compete for that Lombardi Trophy in a Super Bowl appearance in more than a decade. That should be something that rakes your soul to the point where some level of humility kicks in and you're able to make up your mind and not make up all of these basically be responsible for all of these headlines because of your inability to make a decision because you want to be courted.
And say, you
That's
know
ridiculous.
What? You know what? Listening to you brings up the mind. Maybe he can't get it done. I know we focused on everything else. I know we focused on everything else with the Green Bay Packers. And we talked about the roster management, the disrespect. And look, I have never disagreed with you on the Green Bay Packers handling of the man off the field. The thing that I've disagreed with so many people about is the team was good enough to go to NFC championships.
Yeah.
So somebody was doing a good job putting this roster together.
No,
but let me get to my second point based on something that you just said. My issue is this. You had a year. We've listened to Aaron Rodgers all year talk about the relationship is getting better. I like Matt LaFleur. I know his coach Nathaniel Hackett left and went to the Denver Broncos. All of the things that led up to this particular offseason, as we sit here on every damn show on ESPN trying to figure out what Aaron Rodgers is going to do, we shouldn't be here. S.A., we should not be here with Aaron Rodgers after the tumultuous offseason last year. And the decisions that the Green Bay Packers made to make him happy. And then you had an entire year to work with Gutekunst, to work with Mark Murphy, to work with Matt LaFleur, to look at this roster and understand the things that you need in order to try to go win a championship, which I'm not 100% agreeing on everybody with that with. And now people talking about, well, the season just ended. He's trying to decompress and make his mind up. Bro, we was going through this in 2020.
Yeah.
No, Marcus, I feel your pain, but let me get in here because you said you think he leaves. So do you think Denver is the right spot for him? And Stephen A., I want you to piggyback.
I think Denver would be a great spot. I know the consensus is you don't go to the AFC with the heat that's in that division. But like Stephen A. calls him all the time, a bad man. You should be the force multiplier, as people use. So, look, Denver has a young roster. They have a tremendous amount of talent offensively. Defensively, they've done a phenomenal job. And now his coach, a guy that he's worked in unison with for a number of years, is leading the way there. So, yeah, it would be a good spot. And miss me with the, you got to compete with Mahomes and Justin Herbert. You want to make it easier. At some point, you're going to see them. At some point, you're going to see them. Nobody said that when Joe Burrow was taking Cincinnati to the Super Bowl when he was getting drubbed every game against the pass rush, getting his head decapitated in every single game and ended up going to the Super Bowl out of the AFC. So let's pause on that whole scenario that he shouldn't go there because it's difficult. The bottom line is this. When you point to Aaron Rodgers in this Green Bay Packers situation, he should already know what he's doing and not put these people on.
Marcus.
Even have them in a waiting game or the – go ahead.
Marcus, do you see the shades?
Do you see the shades? Is that Cardi B right there?
Let me tell you why. Let me tell you why I put on the shades. I put on the shades, Marcus Spears, Swagoo. I put on the shades, Molly Q. You know why? Because y'all got me to my Ric Flair mode. Whoa! To be the man, you've got to beat the man, okay? You don't want to hear about Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, Derek Carr being in the NFC West. You know why? Because I'm supposed to be that dude. That's why. Whoa! To be the man, you got to beat the man. And that's what Aaron Rodgers is supposed to do. It's supposed to be this right here. You understand what I'm saying? This is it's supposed to be about all of that. It's supposed to be about the blitz. It's supposed to be about the Jets. It's supposed to be about jet flying, son of a gun. Whoa! That's how you're supposed to have that kind of attitude. And the fact that Aaron Rodgers, anybody that thinks he's supposed to hesitate to be a part of the AFC, it doesn't matter when you're that man. When you're that man, it's not supposed to matter where you're at, who you represent or anybody else, because it's not about anybody else. It's supposed to be about you.
Whoa. Preach, OG. Preach, OG. Preach, OG. Molly, I ain't got nothing to say. The OG just laid down the sermon.
Stephen A., waking me up early. Before we move on to the NBA and we say goodbye to Marcus for a second, though, Stephen A., what do you think? Do you want him to stay in Green Bay, or do you rather him go to Denver?
My honest answer to that question, at this moment, I don't give a damn.
Okay.
I'm so sick.
And we do not care.
And tired of all of this. I don't care where he's at. Just make a decision.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm tired of talking about him.
Okay.
The fact of the matter is he lost in the divisional playoff game. When I watched the NFC Championship game, I saw the Rams. I saw the 49ers. When I watched the Super Bowl, I saw the Rams. I saw the Bengals. I ain't seen Aaron Rodgers anywhere. And that's been the case from 2010 all the way to 2022. Enough already.
That's fair.
When he makes a decision, call me, okay? Because whoever gets him is getting a bad man because he's a bad brother. It's just that you ain't getting it done.
Yeah.
I want this kind of attention is supposed to be reserved for champions, not people who came up short.
Fair
enough.
So
I'm saying.
Don't talk about it, be about it. Okay. Well, we'll certainly call you. Don't you worry when that news breaks.
He's a
champion.
You'll
be right on television.
But you know what I'm saying.
We get you, Cardi B. We get you. Living your best life out in Cali. I see you. Marcus.
West Coast SA.
Marcus,
by the way, Molly.
We'll be back.
By the way, Molly.
Yeah,
as an aside.
Tell me.
As an aside,
yeah.
Swagoo, Molly Q.
Yeah.
I'm still here because Brick returns to Port Charles. And I'm here to just tape some scenes for General Hospital. So that's why I'm here.
Go.
Oh, that's happening today.
That's why I'm here. You know what I'm saying?
Oh.
General
Let's
Hospital's
go.
In the building.
Let's go.
Sonny Corinthos, a.k.a. Maurice Bernard, has summoned me to Port Charles. I got business to handle for the mob.
Brick got to be back.
Brick's got to be in the house. That's why I'm here.
America knows you've got range, Stephen A. He's a thespian, too. There we go. Already getting into character. In rare form on a Monday morning. Let's keep it rolling.
Marcus,
talk to you in a minute.
I love your voice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right.
We're
going to
tap you out here for Kendrick Perkins. Let's keep it rolling. Jason Tatum, fellas, has been on a tear since his birthday. He put on a show versus former teammate Kyrie Irving in the Nets in Boston, dropping 36 through the first three quarters and had 54 on the night, his fourth 50-point game en route to a six-point victory. Meanwhile, Kevin Durant became the seventh fastest player to 25,000 points last night in the loss. KD is at the mic.
I mean, concern and worry, those words, like, it's easy to do that. It's easy to be concerned. It's easy to be worried and pissed off and mad. It's easy to do that. We could point fingers and, you know, blame our season on other things, but let's just go play. We got another game. We got 17 more, and let's see what happens, you know, at the end of them. We just take it a day at a time, man. Day at a time, and I'm confident in this group.
All right. Big Perk, top of the morning to you. Good to see you, sir. Boston, your former squad, where you won a championship, fifth in the East, Brooklyn ninth, and the Nets dropped one game below 500, fellas. Perk, I want to start with you. Who's more likely to come out of the East? Would you say it's the Nets or the Seas?
Molly, is that even a question?
Yes,
is that even
a question? Absolutely.
It's the Boston Celtics. Did you see how the Garden was rocking last night? Did you see it? And look, we already know that Jason Tatum has been one of the most prolific scorers in the game today. But guess what? He's turned it up another notch. And I'm not just talking about that 50-piece wing dinner he dropped all flats. I'm talking about the tenacity that he's playing with. When you look at this Celtic roster, top to bottom, first, they've been the best defensive team over the last 2 months. Let's get that out the way. Now Jason Tatum is leading the charge. Then he have his counterpart in Jaylen Brown. Marcus Smart has found his role as being the facilitator. I love the addition of Derek Wright. And then you have a guy that flies under the radar in Grant Williams, a guy that you could go small with, who could guard 1-4, a guy that is one of the best at knocking down corner threes, that he could defend at a high level. And then, oh my God, You have Robert Williams, a top 10 center in the league, a guy that could defend the paint, a guy that could switch one through fives, a guy that's a lob threat at the basket. So if you're asking me right now, who has the better chance at winning the championship between the Brooklyn Nets, the team that haven't even seen Ben Simmons, the team that is one game below 500, or the team that has been playing the best basketball for the last 2 months? Give me the Boston Celtics right now. Give me the Celtics over the Brooklyn Nets, and I think Stephen A. about to agree with me.
Well, I don't disagree with you at this particular moment in time, Swagoo, but I'm just looking ahead. Obviously, we're projecting. I'm sorry, my bad. I'm at the Swagoo. I saw the Swagoo and Perk podcast. I got caught up in that on Apple and Spotify and the ESPN app. My bad. I was distracted. My bad, my brother. My bad. You know what I'm saying? But here's the deal, Big Perk. I don't disagree with you if I had to make that decision now. But if you're asking me now who I'll think be standing longer in the end of the Eastern Conference picture, that's how I'm answering that question. And it's off of a big assumption. I'm in no position, let me be very clear, I'm in no position right now to disagree with your point, because Jason Tatum is that dude. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, even though he's averaging 26.5 points, he only shoots 43% from the field and 33% from three-point range. Imagine when he gets even more efficient. And I'm noticing that the brother, the bigger the game, the bigger the spotlight, the more the brother steps up. Jason Tatum is a superstar, and this is one of the reasons why Brian Colangelo is no longer an executive in the NBA, because he got hosed by Danny Ainge and Boston. Remember, okay, the man sat up there and gave up the number one overall pick he had the number three overall pick, moved up to number one, all right, to take Markelle Fultz when he could have took Jason Tatum. I mean, don't get me started, okay? But here's the deal. Jason Tatum is big time. Udoka is really showing me a lot as a coach, man. I'm very impressed with this brother. He is a coach of the year candidate. And all of these folks that were hesitant to hire black men, to lead black men, I would remind you, think about what J.B. Bickerstaff is doing in Cleveland. Think about what Udoka is doing in Boston. Think about what Monty Williams is doing in Phoenix. And then tell me the hesitancy in black individuals being in leadership positions as head coaches on the NBA level and, of course, definitely on the NFL level. Come to me with just go someplace with that. But let me get to you about Brooklyn. KD getting on my damn nerves. And I'm going to tell you why, KP. KD, to me, when healthy, is the best player on the planet. He's that lethal, okay? He's a professional scorer. We know what he can do, all right? We know what Kyrie can do, even though it wasn't there yesterday. I guess the sage that he was spreading throughout the arena before the game, you know, I guess he didn't do that yesterday, or if he did it, it didn't work. You know, just spraying purifying air all around us. Didn't work for him yesterday, okay? But that neither here nor there. I make my proclamations about the Brooklyn Nets based on the availability of the players. I'm making that assumption that they're going to be on the court. Never in my wildest dreams that I think that, oh, my God, we still ain't seen Ben Simmons at all. I mean, I don't want to hear, I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, I usually don't do that because obviously mental health issues are things that we take very, very seriously. And I understand all the stuff that went on in Philadelphia. You can have your own opinions about that. But I don't want to hear about that now. And I damn sure don't want to hear about some back injury. Dismiss me with that. You ain't played since last June. What the hell you do? Slip in the shower? Well, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you were doing squats in your home gym, and all of a sudden you tweak something. What the hell happened that your back is hurting now? I don't want to hear this nonsense. You scared to play in Philadelphia. You scared to play in Philadelphia. And the Brooklyn Nets, it's an accusation. I ain't no source. It's not sourced, you know, or anything like that. It is a personal accusation that I am making on national television. You scared to play in Philadelphia. And the Brooklyn Nets organization is helping you get away with that nonsense, with this bogusness about a back injury. Y'all can miss me with that. Kiss my you-know-what. That's nonsense, all right? And all I'm saying is this. The reason why Kevin Durant is bothering me is because I believe with Ben Simmons and KD on the court, with Seth Curry, with a Patty Mills and those boys, these brothers could go to the finals. That's what I feel about the Brooklyn Nets. And the fact that KD is sitting back there and it's like, yo, there's no urgency. My brother, They leaving you hanging. They're leaving you hanging, KD. I don't understand how you haven't raised holy hell about the urgency of this moment. Because, listen, let me tell you something right now. You know, you might be in a play-in game. And that means you end up going up against Milwaukee or somebody with the number one seed. You can beat anybody, but you could also lose. As it pertains to your 76ers, the Celtics, I would say this. They'd get Chicago in the first round if the playoffs were to begin today. Then we'd get Chicago. Boston 5, Chicago 4. And obviously we anticipate that Caruso and Lonzo Ball will be back at that particular moment in time. And when those guys are on Chicago squad, they play some defense. And with the way DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine are rolling, it would be a very interesting series. Go ahead.
No, it would. But Stephen A., first of all, let me tell you this. The Brooklyn Nets have to get out of the play-in tournament. Yeah. And when I'm looking, and I told you this last week, when I'm looking at a team like the Atlanta Hawks with what Trae Young could do to a team, you know, in a one or two games to send them home, you don't want to swim in those dangerous waters.
What about
if you
got
to go against a young team, Toronto, the Charlotte Hornets?
And Kyrie can't play in Toronto.
And he can't play. But let me get to a point. Two points that you brought up.
Sure.
One about Ben Simmons. See, what people don't realize is 17 games left in the season, okay? And we haven't seen Ben Simmons play since last June, okay? So we don't know what type of Ben Simmons we're going to get. And I have to constantly remind people that in order to get into basketball shape, you have to play basketball. In order to get into NBA level type shape, you have to get on that stage. He hasn't played that yet. So his workload for his legs, we don't know what they can handle. But then to another point, this is why James Harden got the hell up out of there. When you talk about what's going on, when you talk about Ben Simmons not being available, we know what's going on with Kyrie. It speaks to what, Stephen A.? It speaks to the damn culture, and that's what the Nets don't have. They don't have a damn culture. And James Harden saw this coming a miles away, and this is why he forced his way out of Brooklyn. So until they start holding guys accountable and things to that nature, it is what it is. And here's one more other point.
Sure.
If the Brooklyn Nets happen to get out of the play-in and get into the playoffs, what happens if they see the Philadelphia 76ers? Ben Simmons, you can't run and hide then. Yeah. You can't run and hide then.
You know what?
You're going to have to play, brother.
Here's the saddest part. Here's the saddest part, Big Perk. I don't know. At this point, I don't know if he wouldn't run and hide. I don't even know. He might do that. He just might do that. He might do that. He might sit up there and blame it on traffic jam on I-95. He might sit up there and eat something at the rest stop in New Jersey and then claim that he got food poisoning or something. I don't know what the hell he'll come up with. I mean, this is ridiculous, all right? And I'm going to say this, too. Getting back to KD. See, this is what bothers me. Because, again, I believe him to be the best in the world. And I love KD. I truly do. He's a good brother. You're a bit truculent looking at times and all of that other stuff. Him and Westbrook got that in common. But the brother is a good brother. They're both good brothers, man. But here's the deal. When I said people are going to look at him and it's going to be about the fact that you left Steph Curry for Kyrie, that's very, very real. Because what happens is, what does Golden State have, KP? Culture. They do
culture.
Have leaders. They have culture.
You chose.
They have coaching. They have leadership. And so what I'm saying is, when you depart from that, what you're saying is, I ain't worried about that because I got that covered. Well, if you got that covered, why is Kyrie doing what he wants to do? Why is Ben Simmons running from challenges? And why, and most importantly, Molly Q and KP, why are you leaving Kevin Durant hanging? I'm telling you right now, what we celebrated about James Harden last year was that in that seventh game or whatever, I mean, this dude was on the court on one leg because Kyrie was hurt, and they knew that KD needed something. Mm-hmm. And the fact that KD has surrounded himself with dudes that seem to prioritize everything. But KD, if I had a teammate like KD, I'm like, I got to be there. I don't care what it takes because he's too important, he's too gifted, mm-hmm. and he never cheats us. I got to come near and support him. No, they're not sure. doing it, and he is letting them get away with it. And as a result, I'm already crafting this apology, Molly. I got to sit here and craft my apology. I mean, I got to write a damn dissertation of an apology to Daryl Morey. I got to apologize. They got me on the verge where I'm going to have to apologize to Daryl Morey because I thought the man got hoes. And here he is. Daryl Morey evidently knew about Ben Simmons. He knew what they were getting with Andre Drummond because he can't defend the pick and roll to save his life. He can rebound, but he can't defend a pick and roll situation to save his life, okay? He knew about Ben Simmons evidently. He knew about Andre Drummond, and damn it, he probably knew about Kyrie. Daryl, I might have to apologize if it keeps going this way. Y'all gonna see me on national TV.
It's a good starting point. Dear Daryl, that's always a good way to start.
Dear Daryl, whose wife is one of my biggest fans because she loves General Hospital. So here it is. And she loves it. And I'm like, yo, I got to go to Philadelphia. I got to drive to Philadelphia soon. If this keeps up, I'm going to have to drive to Philadelphia just to apologize to Daryl Morey after I do it on national television.
Molly.
I hear you, Kirk.
Molly, look at my face. Look at my face. Look at this, though.
Hold on.
I can't say a word. They're going to have me driving to Philadelphia just to apologize to Daryl Morey.
I don't even know where to go. All I need to say is this real quick, though. Kevin Durant knew he was in the trenches by himself after he played Miami because he made note real quick. They had four guys scoring 20, and he just had himself.
I ain't there yet, but I'm prepared to apologize to Daryl Morey.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/firsttake. That's amazon.com/firsttake to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
The Warriors were in L.A. Saturday night. Super Bowl champion Matthew Stafford courtside with his wife. LeBron took notice, reminding folks never to count him out, putting up a historic performance, 56 points in an 8-point win over the Dubs. Meanwhile, Golden State received some good news. Draymond Green will be back in 7 to 10 days. The Warriors are second in the West, 7 games behind the Suns. Kendrick Perkins back here with us. Stephen A. Smith, you've had the Dubs all season long. Tell me this. Are the Warriors still legit title threats? Because I understand you were on that court Saturday night. Are you still feeling confident?
Oh, I'm not feeling nearly as confident as I was, but it's primarily, pretty much solely because of the absence of Draymond Green. I think that the best thing that has happened to the brand that is Draymond Green is him being out, because we realize now how important he is to this franchise. Defensively, they would be significantly better with him on the court. There is no denying that. When he's on the court healthy, Draymond Green is a defensive player of the year candidate pretty much every year. He's that elite. He's that intelligent of a basketball player. His leadership, what KP alluded to in terms of culture and what's lacking in Brooklyn. Nobody would ever say that in Golden State, because the one thing you know about Draymond Green, as emotional as he is on the court and how he has to monitor arguing with the refs and getting technical fouls, you know, I've seen it up close and personal, him hold players, one player after another, accountable for making sure they fulfill their collective responsibilities on the basketball court, knowing their assignments, knowing what they're supposed to do, knowing how they're supposed to do it, and getting all up in them to make sure that they do exactly that. So you would improve exponentially defensively. And on the offensive side of the ball, you got a point forward that's basically a setup artist. KP, I will tell you, his absence combined with the body language I saw from Klay Thompson Saturday has me a tad bit concerned. You know, he just didn't seem right. And it was on his face, too. You know, I've seen him happier. I've seen him more enthusiastic. I see him more hyped and ready to go, especially when he stepped into the Staples Center. That was not the case this past Saturday night. As far as I was concerned, Steph Curry was all alone. And so when I look at it from that perspective, there's cause to pause. There's cause for concerns, particularly when you see what's happening in Phoenix, even without CP3, what's happening with Utah, Memphis, etc. But I still consider the Warriors a legit threat, because I don't expect Draymond Green to be gone for the season. Like they said, he's coming back. Klay Thompson, as long as he's healthy, I expect him to be relevant. And Wiseman will be back in the mix, too.
You know what? As the world turns, you used to watch that soap opera, right?
I know you heard of that soap opera. Not that one. All My Children, One Life to Live, and then General Hospital. And Young and the Restless.
Yeah, that's all good. But let me say this to you, because now, for some reason, we're having flashback Mondays, okay? And I told you, when Klay Thompson came back, I said to you that they were going to have chemistry problems. I told you, with the emergence of Jordan Poole having to take a lesser role, Klay Thompson having to fit in along with Andrew Wiggins, that they were going to have problems. Yes, Klay Thompson's body language probably had a lot to do with Draymond Green, but it also has a lot to do with the Warriors system. And so here's the problem that I have with you
and everybody else around the world is that when the Warriors are hitting those, when the Warriors are hitting those threes, we're singing their praises. I mean, they're shooting it from the parking lot. They're doing this. But when they're not hitting those threes, nobody holds them accountable for playing bad basketball. No one says a goddamn word about them playing bad basketball. And that's a problem that I have with you. And then on the other hand, you know what else? You don't hold Steph Curry accountable. You do not. This is the one guy that you, yes, you. You let Steph Curry off the hook because because the conversations we have, comparing them up in there with Jordan and doing all this, and they losing 10 out of 13 with still the personnel that they have. If it was any other superstar, you would be on here giving him the business, okay? And here's the other concern what I have with the Warriors.
You gonna let me respond? Draymond, I'm waiting to respond.
I'm not finishing telling you about my concerns. Okay. My concerns is, yes, they do need Draymond Green back. But Draymond Green been sidelined since January the 9th, I believe it is, with a back injury. This ain't back spasms. So we all know how that is dealing with back injuries. Even if he comes back, do we know if he's going to be 100%? Okay, so you could go ahead and respond, but I'm just telling you right now, to me, looking at this Golden State Warriors team and having a Draymond Green that's been dealing with a back injury, are they legit title contenders? Hell no.
Okay, a couple of things. First of all, that last part is just blasphemous. Just blasphemous. That's number one. Number two, damn is okay. The other word added to it, might want to pipe that down. Don't do
that. Yes, number don't three, use that God's name in vain.
We want to refrain from that, KP. It's okay. It's all right.
Just
a mistake.
I'm sorry, but I said it was G-O-T. Okay,
G-O-T. Okay, I know. But you know how people hear. So that's all right.
Right.
No biggie.
Right.
We got you. So that's number two. Number three. Big Perk, I never said that I was fixated on the Golden State Warriors finishing as the number one seed in the West. I never said that, you know what,
you
they just going to be all comfortable and in cruise control and they're not going to have any hiccups in the season. I never disputed your point that when Klay Thompson came back because of Jordan Poole and Toscano Anderson, even though Toscano Anderson, he's lucky he in the lineup for a month after that display in the slam dunk contest. That was enough for banishment for 1 month for punishment, as far as I'm concerned. So he's lucky he's still on the damn court, because I like him and I like him a lot. But that was just an atrocious performance in the slam dunk contest. Gave the organization a bad rep. The bottom line is this. I never failed to anticipate that those issues were going to happen. What I'm saying is, because of who Klay is and because of how he knows how to play the game of basketball, when it really, really counts, all I'm concerned about is his health. I ain't concerned about nothing else. Because if he's healthy, watch what he does. And I believe I'm going to be right. So, again, we understand what you're saying in that regard, but my point is still consistent, and I ain't backing up from it. Now let's get to your point about Steph Curry, the greatest shooter that God has ever created. We all know that to be true. When you are a shooter, listen, I understand that. Little hiccup, mid-back shell, stuff happens. You know what I'm saying? We understand it. But you know this as well as I do, KP. You know it better than me because you play. The reality of the situation is, with shooters, this kind of stuff always happens for a short period of time. It's not that big of a deal. And when I see Steph Curry and you dropping 28 or you dropping 30, but your team loses and what have you, because other dudes are not stepping up, that's something that Steve Kerr and those boys will figure it out. Again, my issue is their health. Because if it were not for their health, this wouldn't be an issue at all. Even with chemistry problems, they'd still have won half of these games. Easy. It wouldn't be no 10 out of 13 losses. I mean, it wouldn't happen. Not like that. So when you have injuries, this stuff happens. And you, I'm getting tired of you ignoring that. Your team lost the championship, I believe, because you weren't available. They needed your big behind in the post. You understand, dealing with Bynum and Gasol and those brothers. And when you weren't there, that was a tremendous loss. Injuries play a role. Stop conveniently forgetting about it when it happens. You know that matters. You know that matters.
I didn't say it didn't, and guess what? By the way, we had Rasheed Wallace, although he was a little older. Guess what Rasheed Wallace was dealing with, Stephen A.? Back issues.
I understand.
Back issues.
Doing I know those? That.
Okay, so that's what I'm trying to tell you about that. But no, here's the thing. This is the problem that I have. You talk about Steph Curry having 28 or 30. That last 30 or whatever he had, he took 28, 29 shots. But here's the thing that I have a problem with you. Any other superstar in the game today that would have lost, I believe, 10 out of 13 of their games over the last 13 games, you would have had something to say. You would have had something to say about him. But when it comes from Steph, because you're so fascinated with shooting, that's all you talk about. Shooting.
Let me ask you this, Big Perk. Hold on. I talk about shooters. I talk about shooting with guards. I talk about shooting with scorers. I damn sure don't talk about shooting with the Dennis Rodmans of the world and others. I understand that there are people that don't have that responsibility. Let me ask you this question. How would Kendrick Perkins today, right now, be speaking about Russell Westbrook if he could shoot?
That's not what you mean.
No, what I'm saying is shooting matters. Shooting is that important for most players.
Hey, Stephen A., you ready for some hardcore facts? Cold facts? This might hurt your heart. Okay. Uh-oh. Here's the thing. Here's the thing that people don't want to realize. And I know the Warrior fans are going to be waiting on me at the front door. And I don't give a damn. Okay? The fact of the matter is this. When it's time for Steph to step up the most, he doesn't. He doesn't. Okay? So when you go back and look before Kevin Durant got there and you look at Andre Iguodala winning the finals MVP.
Oh, my God.
And then all of a sudden. Hey, you know why Draymond Green was on his phone in the parking lot calling Kevin Durant? Because he know he needed him. He know he needed
him. He's 6'11 and can shoot, KP. Didn't I give you this lesson last week in LA when I said to you and I asked you to post me up, you couldn't even see me. The fact of the matter is size matters. The dude's 6'3, man. Come on, man.
Then is Steph Curry not in your top 10 greatest players of all time?
Well, I didn't say he was there yet. What I said is I got to think about it because I think he's tinkering towards it, and Mad Dog went ballistic.
Is he knocking at the door for me, but that don't deserve for him to get a pass for having these Warriors look the way that they look right now.
It's a missed season. They lost 10 out of 13. I understand
that. But you never address him. You address LeBron James. You address James Harden. You address everybody under the sun. But you never say nothing about Steph Curry.
I haven't said anything about the greatest shooter God has ever created. I mean, that's so sacrilegious. I'm so shocked that I would do such a thing. He's that great. And let me tell you this right now. Here's the deal. The bottom line is this.
Welcome
you look at, like you said, Klay Thompson coming back, not 100%. Having to make, you know, get him back involved. You got Jordan Poole and Toscano Anderson and others who've suffered because they tried to get him involved. Jamon Green has been out. Wiseman has been out. And you want me to look at a 6'3 guard that's double teamed, that they blitzed him every time he went past half court when he played against Dallas the other day. You want me to look at him and say, excuse me, this 6'3 guard, all right, that is the greatest shooter ever.
I
need to hold him accountable? Oh, please. Just stop it.
Big Perk, talk to me in 7 to 10 days when Draymond's back.